Check out 4thandflex.com, where you can find our YouTube channel, become a subscriber, and you could win free prizes such as signed jerseys and anything in between. That's 4thandflex.com. Follow us on YouTube. Subscribe to your boys. Enjoy the show. Are you ready for a sports movie review? Let's take it to the gridiron, baby. Lights, camera, action. We are back. Welcome to 4th and Flicks, your sports movie review podcast. After the confetti falls and the Super Bowl trophy has been won, your fantasy football podcast morphs into your sports movie review super show. I'm Bandy. That's Trey. This is 4th and Flicks. What's happening, buddy?
What's going on, man? What's going on? You know, exciting movie this week. Honestly, I was glad to get back to the gridiron and check this one out. Yeah. Obviously, I've seen it a couple times, probably more than a couple anyway, but great movie, man. Really pulls at your heart.
It really does, buddy. And I think that's, you know, that's the best part of it, man, is the emotional aspect of it. Today's movie is Gridiron Gang, directed by Phil Janu, released in 2006. Trey, Rotten Tomatoes score of 43%. It grossed $41 million in the box office. Not bad. Not bad. Starring The Rock, Exhibit. A bunch of kids that have done a few things later on in life, a couple other people. Let's just do a quick synopsis of the film. Let's see. A counselor at a juvenile detention center decides to turn this young inmate in his charge into a football team to give them a sense of self-respect and social responsibility. But he faces opposition from high school coaches who do not want their players facing criminals on the field. Also, I think I might add, this film is based on a true story, you know.
Loosely is, you know, the idea of it is a true story. So
yeah, it's about real life probation officer Sean Porter from the Kilpatrick Detention Center in Los Angeles. He used the football to make a difference in the lives of the young inmates, and that's what inspired this great movie, Trey.
No doubt.
Now let's get into it, buddy. Let's get into an ode to remember. First time you watched this movie, Trey, how was it? What do you remember?
Well, you know, it was hard to think back to when the first time I watched this movie, but I think I can probably pinpoint it to about middle school. I just remember after watching this movie, it just made me want to be a part of a team. And mm-hmm. And after thinking about it, I really think this movie is one of the big reasons why I became to love football. Mm. I mean, it just gave me that, you know, energy to want to get out there and be a team and work hard together and get past all the BS that life throws at you.
Were you a troubled youth, Trey?
I mean, you know, I mess around a little bit. Nothing too crazy.
Absolutely, yeah. Thinking back on the first time I watched it, I can't remember the first time I watched it, but I do remember the way it made me feel. Like when we were talking about we're going to do Gridiron Gang next, the first thing that pops into my head is like, oh, dude, I remember like feeling it when I watched that movie, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Just feeling it. Like, I remember the scene where The Rock is like walking away after the kids left him with the flowers and stuff like that, bro. And he's like choking back tears and stuff. I just remember that. I literally, that popped in my head. That part, dude, is just so good and so emotional. Intense. I loved it. Now, what'd you say?
Intense.
Yeah, exactly. Intense. Yeah, it was. It was. Obviously, if it just stuck in my head like that, you know?
Right.
Let's get to your favorite scene, your personal favorite scene of this movie, Trey.
So my personal favorite scene has to be when The Rock puts on the pads and pushes Willie Weathers, baby. Okay, you know, he gets down there. He's like, you're going to knock me over. And I'm going to quote it directly because I love this part right here. He says, when Willie starts looking around because he's just getting whooped every time, he's like, what are you looking at? Don't look at them. They ain't going to help you out here, Willie. Mm-hmm. You got no homeboys. You got no help. You damn sure ain't got no gun, and you can't run away. You got nobody but yourself, but God damn it, that's all you need. Believe in yourself and knock me on my ass. Well, you feel that when he says that.
Dang, bro, you did feel it. It's funny, bro. I got that exact same scene in my notes, man. Yeah. When The Rock comes out in uniform, gets Willie to knock him past the line, dude, that was great, man. Like, it looked like he was, I don't know, maybe it's because The Rock and he's such a big guy, but it looked like he's wearing like smaller.
Yeah, like they couldn't find the right size for him.
Yeah.
Maybe they did that to make him look even bigger, you know?
Yeah, it worked because he did. He looked like a mountain, bro. When I was watching it, I was kind of feeling like, okay, he let him knock him on his ass, right?
Yeah, after he hit that big speech, he had to let him, you know what I mean? That was his moment to give him just that encouragement to know that he can do it. And and if you know you can do it a lot better than you can if you think you can. You know?
Yeah, exactly, because that little dude hit him, bro, and then he fell, man. I'm like, dude, he totally let him. He let him.
Yeah, and look, a little quick secret that not a lot of people probably know about that scene. Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, is wearing number 94, and that's the same number he wore during his time with the Miami Hurricanes. So it's a little old to his past life.
Interesting. I like that. Yeah, that is a good little thing to throw in there. Now let's get to the most iconic scene. Let's get to that scene that you feel like, I don't know, lives in infamy, you know, just one of the scenes that is just like, bam, that's that movie.
I've got a couple here, just two after really watching the movie, that both these scenes, the first one specifically I remember, but the second one, like when it was coming up, I was like, oh, this is that part. But the first one is the water break scene where Willie sits down and he's like, nah, not until we get water. And and they finally, that's like the first act as a team that everybody, and then Rock's finally like, you know what, give them water. They're finally acting like a team.
He's like, yeah, he literally says, the first thing you've done is a team. Yeah.
And that just kind of like it sets you in that, like, hey, maybe this can actually work. Maybe football can help these guys out.
Yep. And if you notice, you know, Willie's the first one to sit down. He's an 88, right? The last one to sit down was the other guy, the 95. 95. I love that, by the way. I love that 88, 95 whole thing there. That entire thing was awesome. Yeah. I love that. Let's see. So my most iconic was, I think, when Willie shot the stepdad, bro.
Oh yeah,
like, dude's running at him, bro, and like, I thought, like, okay, he's gonna go to jail because he he like shot at those people and at stuff, you know what I'm saying, right? I was like, I couldn't remember exactly. I knew he was going, but I just couldn't remember how. And the stepdad's like, you ain't got the balls to shoot me, boy. And he walks up, he's like, bat, bat, bat. He just drops a gun.
Bloop. Yeah, he's just laying there looking all crazy.
And mama's crying and stuff.
Yeah, and mad at him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he shot him over. Yeah, I mean.
But I'm glad you brought that up, because this is something that I couldn't find any information on, but I'm sure it was like, you know, some little Easter egg they threw in there. Mm. When he goes to the grocery store to rob it, outside of the grocery store is this big sign that says 95 cent.
Ooh,
and 90, I'm thinking 95, you know.
95. And that's where they found a 95, right?
Right.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, that's crazy. I bet that's somewhere. That's
sure it was like a little Easter egg they threw in there. Uh-huh. It's like something, and then it just large letters, 95 cents.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Chris Fox popping in over on Facebook saying, get after it, boys.
What up, Chris?
Chris Fox, the Foxy Fellow. Appreciate the love, buddy. Guys, if you're watching us on YouTube or anywhere, don't forget to hit that like button for your boys and subscribe to Fourth and Flicks, man, because we're taking requests. If you got a movie you want us to do, a sports movie, throw it in the comments, man. We'll consider it at the very least, Trey.
No doubt. My last iconic scene, and this is along kind of with my personal favorite scene, but I feel like it's an iconic scene for everyone, and it's when Kelvin hits that block for Willie.
Bro.
You know, that moment, bro, when you finally, and then after they dap it up, and it's like they don't see the gang anymore. They're just Mustangs, you know? And in the very following that scene, they're all jumping in the pool, and it's like they're rewarded for getting past that gang mentality.
Hey, bro, look at this. What does it say? And also, I like when the other gang guy blocks for him.
There you go.
Right in my nose, bro. Right in my nose, man. Yeah, I love that too, bro, because it just kind of got you like, oh, snap. Here we go.
It's about to be
I'm getting like goosebumps.
And I love how the director did it to where the immediately following scene was them all jumping in the pool. It's like, now we can have a good time. We push past our problems, and now we can enjoy our company.
Mm-hmm. Shout out Phil Janu, the director of this film, man, doing it right. Photography, you know, great shots, all that stuff. I can't think of the word right now, but I loved all of it, man. It's just very visually stunning.
For sure.
All right, Trey, let's move on to what has aged the best in this film. What do you got?
I mean, it's pretty simple. I got teamwork, obviously, aged pretty well. And then also brotherhood. I mean, it kind of goes hand in hand. Yep. But both those things, you know, are kind of taught in this movie. And it's really aged till this day, you know, with teamwork and brotherhood, you know, you can accomplish a lot.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I got bad football teams getting better and winning the big game. I got that in there. You know what I mean?
No doubt.
I like that. That's aged well, you know. let's go with what's aged the worst. I think we probably got the same thing here. What do you got?
I got a couple here. Starting off at the top, it's got to be gang violence, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, definitely. You know, and then dropping the M word. Number 55, you know, he hit him with the hard R.
Hard R. You're right.
And that was intense. But also, I got fat shaming.
Fat shaming
by Dwayne The Rock Johnson, okay, the equipment manager, when he finally, you know, he gets back to the team, he's like, you can be our equipment manager. He's like, hey, can I get a Mustang shirt? And he's like, I don't know, it's going to be a lot of fabric. You have to give me a couple months. I'm like, bro.
Yeah, bro. He's like, yeah, that was good. That was good.
You didn't have to do it to him.
Hey, Derek Burton over on Facebook says, do y'all have a Discord? It'd be great to have a watch party in there with all these loyal 4th and Flex members. We do have a Discord, man. Go on Discord, 4th and Flex, man. You will find us. You will find us. And Mr. Bakes-a-Lot popping in. What's good, homies?
What up, Mr. Bakes-a-Lot?
Mr. B, welcome back. He also says, you guys are doing movie reviews now, too? Nice.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Off season, we're hitting some sports movie reviews.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, that's basically what I had, though, also for what age the worst. That's a racist all white team from the rich school. Right. Also, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Definitely comparison there. With right. That whole dichotomy.
They had like all white players too, right?
Yeah.
Felt like an 80s movie almost at that point.
I mean, all the way down to you're mine, boy.
Yeah. It was good though. Good, good, good. Yeah, let's see here. Scene you could live without, Trey. What's a scene from this movie that it'd have been all right if it wasn't in there?
So it took me a long time to come up with this one because I really liked a lot of the scenes. But this scene, honestly, I mean, it's there for a reason. But, man, every time this scene hits, it almost brings me to tears. Uh-oh. Every time. And this is in the post credits. And it's right at the end when they're telling where everybody ends up and how their life's going. And they tell you that Bug got killed in a drive-by, bro. Every time I'm like, you know, he's this happy, good little guy through the whole show. And at the very end, they're like, by the way, Bug got killed in a drive-by. And I'm like, why do you have to just let me think he lived happily ever after? You
know? Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's funny because, you know, on a rewatch of this movie, I was thinking, what is the something like really bad happens in it? And I was thinking, I was like, does Bug die? I feel like he dies, you know?
Yeah, but it's like in the future, in the real world, you know? So it makes it even worse.
He's like, that kid's always smiling. He's like, yeah, I wonder if he's smiling when he's stabbing that old lady for her purse. Yeah. And that's another funny thing when Bug's like, they're reading all the letters and stuff. He's like, I can't remember how many touchdown passes I caught. Probably like 60. It was good. It's good. A scene that
out to the side.
Yeah. 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 Exactly. Look. All right. So a scene that I could live without. I'd say Junior getting hurt. You know, Junior got hurt and he went to whatever. I feel like they could have done without that. I would like to see Junior play the whole time. You know what I mean? Like just getting in there and tearing it up.
Definitely. I actually agree with you a lot on that because, you know, that, I mean, he gets that one play at the end, but, you know, with him being on the team the whole time, honestly, I feel like would have been good. You know, he kind of was the leader of the team regardless. Yep. Like he kind of broke that bond of gang mentality, and there could have been like a scene where they're fighting on the field and he goes and just rips them apart. Yeah. We're Mustangs.
You know? Yeah.
Something along those lines.
When they were like, you were talking about how in the post credits, how they were saying like, this guy went off and did this. He's like, Junior went on to work at a furniture store and da da da. And I mean, like that's success,
right?
As far as that life goes, for
sure, you know, raising his son and everything,
right? Exactly, you know what I mean? Crazy stuff. Let's move on, Trey. Let's move on to The Replacement. The Replacement is an actor that you think could have done better in this role, or maybe just one that you'd like to have seen try the role out. Well, who do you got?
Yeah, I don't really have anyone to do better. It's hard to discredit these guys when they do such a good job, but I do have some ideas that could be some interesting replacements. Mm-hmm. Starting off with, instead of Dwayne The Rock Johnson playing Coach Sean Porter, how about Hugh Hugh Jackman.
Bro,
Coach Sean Porter.
Bro, I swear to God, I wrote Hugh Jackman. What are the freaking odds?
We gotta... I know, because I thought that was like way out in space.
But... So did I. I think that you're talking. I'm like, there's no way he's going to say the same person I wrote down. There's no way.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman. I think we're doing really good.
Bro, we got to stop spending so much time together, bro. Jesus.
For real.
But yeah, Hugh Jackman, man, coming in there and doing it. I felt like that would make sense. I could see him playing that tough but fair. Like, I could see him getting mad, you know, and just and like
beating the kid with the newspaper in the room. You know, like, this is what it feels like.
Yeah. Hugh Jackman is a great actor, man. We've seen him do all kinds of diverse parts. We've seen him do musicals. We've seen him be Wolverine, you know. I think he also could have come in and been Sean Porter and done a great job. That, bro. It's insane that we have the exact same person. All the actors. We both pop up with that.
All right, but if you got this next one, then I'm really going to be nervous, okay?
Okay.
And that is, hold on, I lost myself here. Okay. Malcolm Moore, the assistant coach who Exhibit plays.
Okay.
Replace him with Terry Crews.
Bro, no, I didn't.
I was about to say, bro. But, you know, because he's kind of got a little bit of comedic role, you know, sure. and I think Terry Crews, you know, being a big dude, having to pull kids apart and everything.
Yeah, just.
And when the gang member walks in and he's like, you know, I'm Willie's brother. And he's like, well, says, or you don't look 12. You know, I just see Terry Crews being able to like pop his titties.
And just get in there and be like, baby back, bitch. No, I just did The Rock. I thought I did the Hugh Jackman, but Terry Crews, definitely. I felt like Exhibit's part in that movie was almost unnecessary. Like, I felt like they could have done more with that part, but definitely. I understand why they didn't. You know what I mean?
Right. But I do love the scene where he quotes scripture to that Christian coach.
Yep.
That was good. You know, and he's like, I didn't know you were a religious man. He's like, everybody needs God every now and then.
Well, no, he was like, I figure we need all the help we can get.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny, man. That's
doesn't
good.
It say?
yeah, like he like quoted it verbatim too. Like he was on.
Not much of a religious man, huh?
It worked.
Yeah, it did.
crazy. Favorite actor in the film? I mean, who do you got?
Yeah, man, this is definitely. I mean, it's pretty easy for me, and it's Seth Tass, who was Junior Palantina.
Yeah.
I just really liked how his character played. Obviously, it would have been cooler if he had some more playing time on the field, but I just liked the way they made this character. You know, he was kind of like the big boss monster of the gang. You know, of the juvenile detention center, he was kind of like the biggest dude in the yard.
Yeah.
And then he was end up being kind of a softy and like bringing everybody together. And I just kind of liked how they played that out.
I honestly like the actor who played Bates, the little white kid. I thought he did a good job. I mean, I felt like it was too easy to just say The Rock, right? That would have just been too easy. Definitely. Of course, we love The Rock, and he did a great job. But, I like the kid that played Bates, man. Especially at the end after I saw the actual Bates. Mm-hmm. I felt like the dude did a great job, man.
Oh, yeah. You almost would like the acting was just like, you know, he probably sat there and watched that video 100 times.
Literally what I was thinking when I was watching. I'm like, I bet he watched this over and over again, just trying to get the emotion of that kid. Just like, I want my mom to love me and hug me again.
That was real footage. That wasn't fake.
Uh-huh. I know, bro. Crazy. That being said, it was so cool to like listen to the actual Sean Porter like saying the lines that The Rock actually said during the movie. You know what I mean? That was cool.
Definitely. I just want to throw out, I kind of had a close second, and that was Mo McRae as Leon Hayes, the quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
And just he was kind of like the comedic relief, in my opinion. And he was just a funny dude.
He was good. He was a funny dude. You're right. He was. Yeah, and he's what does he say? He's like, you ain't never thrown a pass before in a real game? He's like, on Madden. Hey, he did good for being just a Madden quarterback.
No doubt.
No, but I know what you mean. Like that guy, his acting, his face, it was less like, what's the word I'm looking for here? I don't know, but it just felt like, oh, dude, like you wanted to see more of that guy.
Definitely.
Very infectious. His smile was infectious. That's the word I'm looking for right there. Good stuff. The quote that lives on, Trey. This is a quote from the movie that you feel like just continues to be something. And if you got the same one I got, I'm going to be pretty upset.
Well, I've got a couple, and these are, you know, just good quotes, you know, that not all of them really live on, but they're all pretty good quotes. And some of them are just really funny that I feel like had to be mentioned on this show. So right when The Rock is like trying to get the kids to play football, there's a kid in the lobby that, or in the group with the other juveniles. And he says, "Is practice going to be hard?" And The Rock says, "A lot harder than five guys beating up a security guard."
You're right, though. It's hard to get a line that lived on because I don't feel like anybody's quoted this movie ever to me.
Right.
It's not a super quotable movie. Like, it's got a lot of good lines and great writing, but there's not a lot that I've actually heard. Like, what movie is that from? Gridiron Gang? No, right. No one's ever said that to me.
Right.
Let me get mine in here because I bet mine is on your list too. And it's "Come on, Owens. I bet if there's a piece of chicken down there, you get down there." He's like, "Hell yeah, coach. I love chicken."
Yeah, actually not on my list.
It's not? No. Really? Wow. Yeah.
But that's a good quote. I like that one.
Yeah. That's another thing going back to the age, the worst, fat too. Shaming, fat shaming, yeah.
And a little racism in there, you know.
Oh, yeah. Just a smidgen, yeah. Well, The Rock's kind of darker guy anyway, right?
Yeah. that's a great quote. Another good quote I have is when The Rock's on the ground and Exhibit comes up to him, he's like, "You know you're an idiot, right?" He's like, "Well, I'm making progress because I used to be an asshole." That's a good one right
Damn,
there.
That is a good one. I feel like I should have had that one.
Another one we already kind of mentioned, but it's, you know, "That kid is always smiling. I wonder if he was smiling when he stabbed that old lady for a purse." You know, that's a good quote, man.
That's why you looked at me when I said that. You're like, "Damn it, you took my quote."
Then a quote from the quarterback, my boy right here. This is one of the things that I thought was so funny about him. He says, "Throwing touchdowns don't pay as much as slinging rock, but damn, it feels good."
Yeah. When they was reading the letters, he said that. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And but I got to go into the probably the most iconic quote and, you know, what came directly. I mean, they show you verbatim the actual coach, Sean Porter, saying it. And it's the "Everybody listen up. The gridiron is a football field. On the gridiron, we do it my way, not your way. Your way got you here. Whatever gang you claim, whatever hood you're from, this is your hood now."
Oof, goosebumps, bro. I had to give you that full camera view right there, man, so we really get the love in there, bro. Get the love in there. I like it. A lot of good quotes from the movie, man. A lot of good ones that just kind of almost caught me off guard. It's like, oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I don't remember that, but it was good.
Right.
Good stuff, man. Now, let's get to, does it deserve a sequel? Does this movie deserve a sequel? And maybe, you know, you just got an idea for a sequel that someone may pick up and we should probably, you know, get copyright. Credit for. Yeah, copyright. What do you got for us?
So, you know, I really don't think it has to have a sequel. You know, it's obviously based on a true story. And so the sequel could be, you know, something simple. But I did kind of get my cogs turning and come up with an idea for a sequel. Mm-hmm. You know, it was based on a true story, but this would probably, I don't know, it wouldn't be playing into a 100% true story. But it's Junior, Carry On His Life. He's working for the furniture company. Okay.
Oh, God. Here we go.
And he becomes the coach for his son's intramural football team. You know, and he's still in the same area, so there's still gang violence going on around him, and he's got to deal with like the parents of the kids that along with his kid, and like him raising his son in this community, trying to bring him out of it while he's working, you know, two jobs and coaching. And I picture in my head like a scene of him like loading furniture into a U-Haul and a bunch of guys pulling up and being like, you know, pointing guns at him and stuff, and he just like runs through them or something. I don't know. I'm just kind of, you know, brainstorming there, but I think that would be a good one.
Yeah. Junior's character was very interesting, man. I felt like he needed more screen time. Absolutely. But yeah, I mean, I'm trying to find the, was it just a movie about a dude that works at a furniture store?
I mean, no, it's about a guy who lives in a, you know, poor community, and he's raising a kid there, and it's how he's going to get his kid out by working as hard as he possibly can, but dealing with the obstacles that come in and out of his life.
And bringing football back to the younger youth, right? And making it that the story.
Because that's what helped him get to where he is, so he thinks maybe I can get my son to, you know, rock with this.
Gridiron Gang Junior.
Something, you know, yeah.
Gridiron Gang 2, Junior's back. No,
what is it? Baby Mustangs.
Yeah, Baby Mustangs. How about when they none of them could spell Mustangs, bro? Like none of y'all.
And then they bring in the new group, and they can't spell it either.
I know, dude. What the hell? And so I had one, honestly. And I mean, it's I mean, it's basic, you know, like another group of guys, another group of kids the next year, you know, like think of the possibilities of the different personalities that they could throw in there, you know, like do it a little harder. You know, the first one, they wanted to probably base it off of the actual team. Now they have the, like, the writers have, they're able, the freedom, the writing freedom to maybe, you know, make the characters whoever and do whatever they want, you know? And I think that would be an interesting movie to watch for sure.
For sure. For sure.
But let's keep it going, my friend. Let's make some real life player comparisons. Who you got?
Yeah, man. So I dug real deep on this one. You know, I took my notes over about 3 days. And so I kind of would go back to it and think more about it, go back to it. But I liked when I did that because I come up with some real interesting ideas. And this one is Kenny Bates, your boy, your favorite actor. Uh-huh. I'm comparing him to Marquez Valdes-Scantling on the Chiefs. Okay, because this year he dropped that big pass, right? And he kept dropping passes. And then finally in the playoffs, he makes the big catch. Ooh. They go to the Super Bowl. I mean, how could you lay it out any better?
Yeah, bro. That's kind of perfect, actually. Very perfect. I had Bates on there too, but he reminded me of like a Wes Welker type player, you know? Wes Welker, the white boy, but I like yours better, man. Just a guy who couldn't catch, but caught it when it counted. Everybody's mad
at him because he keeps dropping the ball, and then finally, when it really counts, he catches the ball.
I also got Junior on this list, and he reminds me of Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
Like, just that big, talks crap, get you in, just tear you up. I mean, it just the Ndamukong Suh thing is perfect, you know?
No doubt. No doubt. I actually like that a lot.
Mm-hmm. And then also got Kevin Owens, the 95 guy.
Yeah.
Mohamed Sanu. He even looks like Mohamed Sanu,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, you're right.
Wide receivers,
that.
Tall, skinny dude. I just felt like that fit perfectly.
Yeah, man.
Bakes-a-Lot says The Rock is Jack Campbell.
100%. And I just felt like that was almost too cliche to go to. I wanted to get something a little more intense, but 100% I agree.
Good stuff. Good stuff. But let's see here, man. It's time for the Johnny Lawrence Award. The Johnny Lawrence Award is the villain, an actual villain in this movie, or are they being gaslit, Trey? Who do you got?
Yeah, so, I mean, first of all, whenever we give this award, we think about who is the actual villain in the movie. And to me, the biggest villain is street gangs.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're the villain. But on another level, the villain towards most of the movie is the assistant.
Yeah.
You know, the assistant to the school board or whatever. Yeah. You know, he's always going against them and everything like that. It's actually Kevin Dunn. He plays Ted Dexter, and he's kind of, you know, the villain to the team. You know, yeah, he doesn't want to sign off for their jersey, doesn't believe in the team. And then, you know, it kind of comes around to the end.
Yeah, he did.
And figures it out. But honestly, I want to give him the Johnny Lawrence Award because after doing some research, I found out that the actual person in real life was a big advocate for the team and loved the idea of the team. Huh. And so to me, his character being portrayed as a villain is gaslighting him, and he's, you know, he deserves that award.
Well, maybe that's how he felt. You know, maybe that, you know, research and all that you actually found out was after the fact. You know, maybe that stuff in the beginning was kind of true. And maybe it was for good reason. You know, maybe he was just like, I don't know. I don't like this, you know, putting these kids out here with regular kids. You know, it's going to cost us money. We barely have the budget as it is, you know, thinking as someone doing his job. You know what I mean?
100%.
I mean, he would look like a villain if you think about him like that.
Right. Yeah. He's literally just doing his job.
Yeah.
And The Rock is kind of the villain and going against him. I mean, he literally signed off on $10,000 of equipment without permission. And he's like, yeah, but you'll have to file this, report that. It'll be 6 months before it even happens. Yeah. This will be over. So you might as well just write it off. That's kind of villain mentality right there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. So I've got a nominee for the award. I think Homeboy probably wins it, but I got a nominee for award, and the villain is within all of them. Okay. The villain is every character in the movie. They have so many things to overcome. Even The Rock with his anger and throwing stuff and being mad and
his relationship with his dad.
Exactly. Everybody in this movie had to overcome something. And I love that. So that's why I, I like to say a nominee at the very least, you know. Sure. Each guy was like, football, man, screw this football team. I don't want nothing to do with y'all, you know. But at the end, they all came together and did their thing.
No doubt. No doubt.
You like that?
I like that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let's think about a souvenir from the movie, Trey. Something from the set that you wouldn't mind just having at your house, Trey.
Yeah, and this one was obviously pretty difficult. Not a whole lot of just real interesting objects in the movie, but I think a Mustang helmet would be cool to have.
I said jersey. A jersey. Okay, yeah, a Mustang jersey says like what? Like Dwayne or The Rock on it or something? Well,
and so one thing we haven't talked about yet, but Willie and Kelvin's jersey. Willie was 13. Kelvin was 31. You know, they were opposites kind of deal there.
Now, so. I did notice that in on a rewatch. Like, I realized that, like, that was pretty clever writing. I like that. I wonder if in real life that was the case or it just...
I don't know, but at first I was like, why isn't, you know, 188 and 195? But I feel like that's too putting it out there. You know, they wanted to be a little more subtle. And, you know, with the balancing and the coaches probably wouldn't let them do that, you know, exactly. Things like that. But they still were managed to be opposite anyway.
88 for life. 88 for life. You're just beating on dude. How about that dude that played Free?
Free?
Yeah. The dude. I love that guy as an actor. He's from Power.
Okay. I've seen Power. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know exactly.
I love that part where they're like mopping the floor. Right. And he was trying to come see dude. And he was like, he pulled it out like he was going to get a gun. He was like, what?
Yeah. That dude, man, that, I mean, he's really a villain too, but I kind of just included that into the gang That's mentality thing.
Right. Know? Yeah. But that is a good point. That guy was a villain, but he didn't last long.
No, he did not.
I really thought more was going to come of that.
But... No, and then he just, bam.
Yeah. Just pat, pat. Like, was it worth it, bro?
Right.
Was it worth it?
Yeah, exactly.
Because it don't matter now because you did.
I did come up with an interesting idea for a souvenir that I thought this would be pretty cool to have. And it is very Gridiron Gang related. And it would be a cross street sign, 88th Street, 95th Street. You know what I'm saying? I think that would be, you know, bringing the streets together. Obviously, those two would probably not intersect, especially in this area.
Yeah.
But that would just be something cool to have, you know, cross street signs like that.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be kind of cool. I like that. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's good stuff. Good stuff. Where are they now, Trey? Where are all some of these people at? We know The Rock. The Rock is a superstar actor now, and all these kids are like 40, the real life ones, or even the actors are also like 40 now. So,
yeah. So, starting off, I just to talk about The Rock because it's actually interesting where he is now. You know, I don't know if you've noticed, but he's back in the WWE right now. He's kind of being brought back and having a whole new resurgence and being like not just like a guest, like he's involved every week now, and he's probably going to be in WrestleMania main event and all this stuff. So I don't know if that's, you know, a shot at his career, if his career is struggling, so he did that, or maybe he's just nostalgic and wanted to go back and do it because, I mean, he's got enough money to do whatever he wants.
The thing is he does have enough money to do whatever he wants, but the thing is, like, maybe he realizes that, okay, I need to take a break from this acting thing because I'm freaking everywhere, right? I'm everywhere. I'm busy, right? Give it a minute, you know, let things simmer down, take a break from movies. And this may not even be true. He may still be doing movies, you know, who knows? But, you know, maybe take a break and let people, you know, miss The Rock in movies. You know, I remember him coming in to acting. He was in a movie, but Be Cool, Be Cool. I'm not sure. I think The Scorpion King was his first movie, but Be Cool he was in. And I really liked his character in that as well, but it was just so crazy to watch his career kind of just explode, you know,
no doubt.
Just from doing small little films for that being his dream to just becoming what he is today, which is
like the whole Fast series. And yeah. All that.
One of the highest paid actors in Hollywood, if
Moana.
Not.
I mean, that movie probably made more money than any other movie he has.
Probably especially with like toy sales and all that stuff. They get a percentage of that stuff.
Yeah.
But him going to wrestling, I'll say that I know they do that a lot of times, especially when WrestleMania is coming. Has he been doing it a lot? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, he's been doing it for the past couple months. It's kind of like they're working it in with the tribal chief and all that stuff because it's his like cousins and stuff, you know. And so like he's like at first he comes in and he's like a rival to them, like he's mad at how they're, you know, standing on their heritage and stuff like that. But then it like he turns it around real quick and then now he's on their side, but there's still a little bit of tension in between. I don't know. It's, I mean, it's, you know, storyline WWE, but
maybe there are some allegations about Vince McMahon and some sexual misconduct, I believe, that's happening. Maybe they're like, what are we going to do to salvage this, right? Vince McMahon, he's been a big part of this for a long time. What are we going to do to salvage, right? Bring in The Rock. Bring in The Rock. People will watch, and we'll just smooth this right over. That actually makes a lot of sense, right?
And pay him more. You know, he's like, well, I can't turn down that check.
Yeah. Plus, it's, you know, is where he comes from.
Exactly. That's what he knows. He can do that with his eyes closed.
Exactly. But yeah, what, you got any other where are they nows?
I don't.
No, I was hoping you had maybe some, like, well, you know, the kid who played Willie, he's a crack dealer now or something.
Okay. Well, I just wrote that, you know, if you want to know where the real players are now, just watch the end credits of the movie. You know, they got it all laid out there for you.
Hey, bro, I don't know if you know this, but the kid who played Bug got shot in a drive-by.
Every time. It just hurts every time.
Sorry, buddy. Sorry. I'm not laughing at a kid dying. I'm just laughing at the effect that it has on Trey. Just for the record. Yeah, man, just for the record. Okay. Is this the main actor's best movie? Is this The Rock's best movie, Trey?
I mean, definitely not. You know, it's a good Rock movie. It's a beginning of Rock's career movie, but it's definitely not his best.
It's one of his best emotional roles. How about that?
I think so. I think so. I mean, the Tooth Fairy, honestly, it pulls at my heartstrings, bro, to be honest with you. And then what's the one, the other football movie where it's the same girl from the Tooth Fairy, but he's a football player and his daughter, and he gets custody of her. He doesn't even know she's his daughter.
He's like an asshole. That's a good
one, too. Yeah, and then she teaches him how not to be an asshole and that you have to have love in your heart.
What is the name of that movie, bro? Oh my God, that's killing me. Yeah, like I could just see him. He's wearing like an orange jersey, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's a Disney movie, right?
I think so. I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to watch that now, actually. But yeah, I agree, though. It's a great movie. It's a really emotional ride, and I just don't think it's one of his best.
Right.
But yeah, all right, let's go. Movie secrets you didn't know, Trey. You got some half-ass internet research for us, buddy?
I do. There was not a whole lot out there, but I did get some things that you probably didn't know. One, after 20 years at Camp Kilpatrick, the football program featured in the film was sidelined in 2014, pending the outcome of a study on the long-term benefits. Despite helping to send multiple former Mustangs to college, they discontinued the program. And that, you know, kind of hurts me a little bit because it's such a good movie. But, it, you know, after 20 years, they pulled the plug.
Wow. That sucks, man. You got 20 good years. I wonder if Sean Porter was still running that.
I don't know if he was.
Probably not.
20 years later. But, yeah. You know, it's just it's crazy how that stuff works out, and you know, and the money and all of it. And but, yeah. I mean, hey, for 20 years he helped bring kids to a new life. So
right, and they said that the recidivism form was better.
I think it was like 13% after, but it was like 82 before or something like that to come back.
And then, I mean, think of all the, you know, lives that he maybe, you know, help shape or mold in 20 years, right?
Definitely. And then the last thing I have is the character of Willie Weathers in Gridiron Gang is loosely based on Michael Black. Michael Black had an incredible career after the time he had at the juvenile facility. His football career began at Washington State and eventually led him to 10, 15 years in the NFL. Offensive lineman for the Seattle Seahawks, where he got drafted in 92 to 95, and he retired on the Jets in 2001.
Interesting. Yeah. I did not know that. I don't even remember him. Honestly, he's a lineman. That's probably why. Lineman. Sorry, lineman. Sorry, we love you. You know, we couldn't do it without you. We just don't remember who the hell you are.
Yeah, but I mean, that guy literally shows he came from the juvenile facility and then took it to the NFL. So.
Okay, this just popped in my head, Trey. At the end of the movie, again, I'm going to get back to this post-credit scene where they were talking about, you know, who went where and why. How the heck did Willie get out and actually have a career if he killed somebody?
Yeah, and I get that, but because he was a juvenile, you know, and they didn't try him as an adult. He obviously got put into a juvenile facility, so... Yeah. You know, he was able to pull it off. He had to leave the area. I mean, you know, the whole gang would be after him after what he did on the field. So, I mean, obviously he pulled it off.
Yeah, I guess so, buddy. I guess he did. Just popped in my head. I was just thinking about that. I remember thinking about it when watching it, but I'm just wondering how that worked out. I mean, a lot of times when a kid gets in trouble like that and they do go to, even if it's juvenile, like they really have to be sure that this kid is like reformed. He's something that happened when he was a child. I mean, how old was Willie in the movie? Do you remember?
17.
17? Yeah. I can't believe if he didn't get charged as an adult.
And, you know, maybe his lawyer fought self-defense. Sure. And, you know,
yeah,
you mean, know
yeah.
all these different little things.
He was beating my mom, you know? I mean, right. that, yeah. I mean,
he
I
charged
thought that,
him.
I even thought that when it happened. Yeah. I'm like, I mean, maybe
he's
like,
fell back and shot as he's running to tackle me. You know what I mean?
Right. He's a big dude. I'm just a kid. I go scared, you know?
You know, and I kind of like that. Actually, I'm just thinking of a comparison there is, you know, when the stepdad's charging at him and then you've got him charging the Rock, I wonder if in his head, oh. you know, he's having like flashbacks to his stepdad and how that whole situation is.
Dang,
going.
Trey, you're getting deep with it, boy. You get deep. I like it. I like it. All right, Trey, what keeps you coming back? What makes you want to watch the Gridiron Gang movie again?
I mean, obviously, it's the emotion that invokes inside of you. You know, young kids who never had a chance, getting the opportunity to be a part of something bigger than themselves. And it really pulls at your heartstrings, yep. man. It's just an emotional, good, dirty football movie.
Yep. I mean, that's exactly what I got. The emotion is what brings me back in the coming-of-age football tale. You know, the crappy team fighting, thriving to get better. They're probably going to lose the first game. But after that, bro, it's get them. You know what
exactly,
I mean?
Exactly. And then, you know, they lose to the first team and they always have to play that team mm-hmm. in the championship, you know, because that team been undefeated for 4 years. And my wife, I actually watched it with her and she was like, I really thought they were going to win that game. And I'm like, that's the first game of the season. She's like, oh, they're going to play more. And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, okay. You know,
it's funny that she said that because I kind of thought that too. I'm like, wait a minute. I felt like it was all building up to this one game at first, you know? Yeah. And then I was like, oh, wait a minute. There's still like an hour left. There's got
to
be more.
And I was trying to explain to her. I was like, even like, you got to think like in realistic terms, these guys were juvenile guys who had never played football, had 3 or 4 weeks to prepare. And they're going against a team that's been undefeated for 3 years and mid-state champions, and these guys work together every day for the past 3 years probably, and you just expect them to outright win? No, they're going to lose 38 to nothing.
Yeah, like homegirl from the water boy.
38 to nothing, that's the score.
Yeah, no, you're right. But yeah, keep us coming back, baby. Keep us coming back.
I will say, though, just kind of this is another thing that I noticed in the movie. So in that first game where they play that team, they lose 38 to nothing. They talk about it a lot, you know, throughout the movie. In real life, that first game, they lost 21 to nothing. And I'm like, okay, so the movie writers were like, that's not big enough. We got to make it look even worse.
Yeah, we want those boys stomped into the ground. We want them to feel it. For sure. Yeah, but it's time, Trey. It's time to get that flex score. 1 through 10, what do you rate this movie?
Personally, you know, I have to rate this movie. I'm going to have to go with a 6.8 out of 10. And I know that kind of sounds low, but I'm comparing it to all sports movies ever. And it's a great movie, but it's not in one of the best. Yeah. It's definitely not near the worst. But I'm going to give it a solid 6.8.
I'm with you, buddy. A 6.4 on the flex score. But for the same reasons, it is a really good movie. It pulls on the heartstrings, but you know, I said, you know, what keeps you coming back? This is like the third time I've ever watched that movie in my life. You know what I mean? Like it is a good movie, you know, and even rewatching it, it made me like it again.
Right.
You know what I mean? But again, there's a lot of better movies sports movies, football movies, a lot of good ones out there. This is a really good, unique type one, but 6.4 is my score.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Guys, we appreciate y'all coming down, guys. If you got some recommendations for movies for your boys to do, throw them down in the comments. Sports movies, something good. We got a lot of good stuff coming up. Don't forget to hit the like button. That puts us out there to more people to see and view and love us just like you. Subscribe to our channel on YouTube if you have not done so already. Good stuff, Trey. I'm good loving stuff. It. I'm loving the heat. I'm loving doing this, man. It feels good to be working in the off season, Trey.
Oh, yeah, baby. Back in the office.
Back at it. Thank you guys so much for watching. And we shall see thee on the next one.
Peace.
Let's go. I wake up to a little bit of drool on my pillow, feel like it's gonna be a bad day.
Yeah, I'm tired of shit and the coffee ain't hit yet. Damn, ain't that great. I don't wanna go to work cause my boss is a jerk and I'm not even that paid. I need a change in my life cause I don't feel alive and there's nothing that makes me happy. Hold my beer for a minute. I'm about to quit my job, cash in for a ticket. I'm going on a trip and I don't plan to visit. I'm gonna stay there till I feel like I'm winning all. And this is just the beginning. I need a big change, help me feel like living. I need a big swing, home runs I'm hitting. And I'll never look back, moving on till I get it all.
Cut, print, that's a wrap.